Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
Sparkly Golden Goldman.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. It's weathered the credit mess better than the rest. This morning, all eyes are on Goldman Sachs. The expectation is for Goldman to post earnings of more than $6.60 per share. That would be up from last year. Investors are counting on the Goldman report to provide a silver lining as the year winds down. The hope is to get some signs that investment banking will be a little more profitable in 2008. But Marketplace's Sam Eaton reports success can come with a price.
It's been a dismal year for most investment banks, except for Goldman Sachs. While competitors continue to buy up risky subprime loans, Goldman sold, and that bet continues to generate gains for the firm. It's also landed Goldman Sachs superstar status on Wall Street. Analyst Jeffrey Hart of Sandler O'Neill says that's both a blessing and a curse.
It's good to be known as the best, and I think they like to be known as the best. From the other perspective, though, people are going to watch you closer. It's hard to sneak up on markets and environments. You potentially have regulators taking a closer look at you.
The Securities and Exchange Commission is doing just that. Some lawmakers want the SEC to open a formal investigation into whether the firm unfairly influenced the market. Goldman Sachs declined to comment for the story, but many analysts defend the firm's integrity. They say Goldman's huge profits are the result of its nimbleness, not any wrongdoing. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Some banks overseas are getting a pick-me-up today that's a little more tangible. For 2 weeks, the European Central Bank is offering unlimited loans at below-market interest rates. From Europe, Megan Williams reports.
The cost of banks in Europe borrowing money just dropped to 4.2%. The below-market rate now offered by the European Central Bank is all part of its drive to cut the cost of lending between retail and commercial banks. 2 weeks ago, that rate went up to nearly 5%. The goal is to get it down to 4%. By injecting cheaper cash into the European banking system, its central bank hopes to make more credit available to businesses to keep the economy from slumping further. Deutsche Bank head economist Thomas Mayer says the move may stave off a credit crunch, but it isn't risk-free.
The risk is that central bank money gradually becomes an ever more important source of funding for the commercial banks, and that's not what we want. We want the commercial banks to conduct business in the markets.
Many European banks have been hit hard by the defaults on mortgages in the U.S. and have been loath to extend credit. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
That move from the ECB and an expected plan from the Federal Reserve today on dealing with shady home lending practices seems to be giving some energy to European stocks. Some small gains this morning across Europe. Asian markets were mixed overnight. The Dow starts the day at 13,167 after falling 172 points. The Nasdaq held steady yesterday at 2574. The S&P 500 dipped 1.5% to 1446. There are only a handful of written documents that can fetch tens of millions of dollars at auction. One of them is expected to do that tonight. It's more than 700 years old, it's English, and it arguably had some effect on me being able to tell you this story. If you haven't guessed, I'm talking about the Magna Carta. Here's Jeremy Hobson with more.
The document guaranteeing the rights of man was signed by England's King John in 1215.
It says to the executive that there are limits to executive power.
A principle, says Professor Paul Cousins of Boston University, that remains key on both sides of the Atlantic.
It's from Magna Carta that both the British system of a sovereign parliament and the American system of a written constitution were derived.
The one up for sale tonight is one of just 17 original copies in existence. Sotheby's Vice Chairman David Redden expects bids in the $20 to $30 million range. He bases that largely on the only auction he can compare this to.
The last time we saw the first printing of a Declaration of Independence was 7.5 years ago. That brought $8.1 million. That's not as rare as Magna Carta.
The money raised tonight will go to the Perot Foundation, which purchased the document for $1.5 million in 1984. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
With the Hollywood writers' strike in its seventh week, it's not easy to get a lot of new material on the tube these days. And if you were hoping for some fresh TV with the upcoming Golden Globes, think again. The Writers Guild says it won't let its members write for that awards show or the Oscars. You are listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Tuesday, December 18th on Marketplace.org. Storm season is in full effect in many parts of the U.S. Airline passengers are once again worrying they'll find themselves stuck on the ground for hours. Several airlines are trumpeting their intention to waive last-minute flight change fees. Ashley Milne-Tight reports.
You might think airlines would be keen to make it up to passengers after some of this year's major airport delays, but business travel writer Joe Brancatelli says think again.
The airlines will tell you they care about their passengers, but everything they do on a day-to-day basis proves to you that they do not.
For example, he says they're opposing a passenger rights bill. They're in New York federal court today fighting to stop the bill's passage. As for waiving those change fees, Brancatelli says that's part of airlines' usual policy. Robert Ditchy is an airline industry consultant. He says airlines are feeling the heat from the public and politicians, but they're flying more people than ever before and flights are a bargain.
Unless the American public is willing to pay more for this product, then you get what you pay for.
He says the days of guaranteed satisfaction are gone, along with exclusive prices. I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
In Florida, the Seminole County School District will reward students with good grades and good attendance with a Happy Meal from McDonald's. The school district forged a partnership with a fast food giant this year. In addition to the Happy Meal promotion, a cartoon of Ronald McDonald can be found on the report card jackets. Commentator Susan Lynn tells us in this holiday season, McDonald's isn't alone in its marketing strategy for kids.
One holiday gift I'm not giving the preschoolers in my life is Saks Fifth Avenue's wintry picture book, Snow People. And it's not just because I balk at introducing the phrase frigid fashionistas into a four-year-old's lexicon. Snow People centers around a host of identical carrot-nosed snowmen immersed in an existential crisis about conformity. But never fear, along with their snow wives, snow children, and deep snow pockets, they solve their identity problems through rhinoplasty, dental work, and a Fifth Avenue shopping spree. One reason for Snow People is that Saks is gunning for once and future customers. The goal? Get kids to nag their parents now while inculcating lifetime brand loyalty. Warm, fuzzy feelings about a brand that morph into adult nostalgia and plenty of spending. That's why Harley-Davidson has a line of onesies and why Hummers turn up in Happy Meals. But the book is more than a branding op. Saks' foray into authorship extends a marketing strategy embodied by the company's Club Libby Lou, day spas for little girls which specialize in tarting tots up with evening gowns, makeup, and jewelry. The company is hopping on a troubling trend, inculcating the habits of consumption in ever younger children. Popular social networking sites for 5- and 6-year-olds entice them to spend hours and hours online pretending to shop. And it's not just that best-selling toy lines like Barbie and Bratz are designed to get children to purchase more branded stuff. The toys themselves are about shopping. What else can you do with a Barbie Fashion Fever shopping boutique playset or the Bratz movie stars, that's with a Z, funky fashion makeover? We pass our values on to our children through the stories we tell and the toys we provide. So, sorry, Saks, I'm giving Snow People the cold shoulder.
Every couple days, my mom calls me with the Cleveland Weather Report and complains it's too cold to finish putting up the Christmas lights. She says people in L.A. can't use that as an excuse.
I tell her mom, what makes you think people in Los Angeles put up their own lights? Here's more from Lenora Chu.
Bob Pranga first started decorating homes for the holidays as a survival job between acting gigs. But business quickly took off, and these days he goes by the name Dr. Christmas.
Anybody who's requiring Christmas from A to Z, that's what I do.
Pranga and his team do it all, from stringing your rooftop lights to trimming your tree Art Deco style. Burn out a bulb between Thanksgiving and New Year's? A technician will pop in and fix it. Pranga likes to say he gives people their time back.
Everybody thinks that, you know, L.A. is a big, you know, lazy playground for the rich, and it's really not, because the majority of people here, it's a factory town. I mean, these people are working all the time.
Pranga says he's even saved a few new marriages in the process.
It's that first year of kind of letting go of your control issues and kind of making this a two-party deal rather than a one-party deal. I have to remind people that Christmas is, you know, supposed to be an enjoyable time of the year.
Decorating services aren't cheap. Many lights on your roofline with window trimmings and a wreath on your door will cost at least $1,500. Toss in green LED lighting and indoor styling for a mansion, and you could be paying the bill till tax season, says Deloitte Services retail expert Jackie Fernandez.
The amount someone can spend can go up to probably $20,000, $25,000, depending on how much you're going to do, how big your house is, how extravagant, do you want in and out, all of that.
Even so, more people across the country are hiring holiday help, especially in urban areas. But in L.A., it's more about status than it is in Ann Arbor, says Pranga.
Because in the Midwest, if you find a bargain, it's a good day. In L.A., if you don't pay a lot for it, it's not worth anything. But the overall message is still for everybody, yes.
More dual-income families means more time at work and less time for the details, retail expert Fernandez.
These services are going to keep growing because of the demand, which will drive prices down, and that, I believe this will therefore push it in more into the mainstream than keeping it as a luxury item.
Fernandez herself is spending $500 to decorate her roofline with icicle lights. That keeps her husband off a ladder and safely inside. In Los Angeles, I'm Lenora Chu for Marketplace.
Also in Los Angeles, dreaming of a white Christmas. I'm Renita Jablonski. Glad you tuned in.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.